I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. If you've got a Bible and you want to turn to it, it's on page 1222. 1222. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. And this is what it says. It says, "And there were shepherds in that country abiding without and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today a Saviour has been born to you, in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men.' And it came to pass, as the angels departed from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's make our way now as far as Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And having seen it, they made known about the country the thing which had been said to them concerning this child." And there you have it. There's a lot of things that happen at Christmas. Presents, Christmas trees, lights, fun. I love this time of the year. But underneath it all, there's a story from long ago about a little baby that was born in a place called Bethlehem. And the words that I've just read to you were written down by somebody nearly 2,000 years ago. Think how long ago that is. 2,000 years ago, someone wrote down these words that you've just read tonight. But it's a story that most of you probably know ever so well. Actually, if you look in the Bible, there's four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And the story about Jesus' birth at Bethlehem is in two of them. It's in Matthew's Gospel and it's in Luke's Gospel. Just two of the Gospels. And the story's only in the first two chapters of those Gospels. It makes up a really small part of the Bible. But it's still a wonderful story. If you look in Luke's Gospel here and you look in Matthew's Gospel, you can find all those things you've heard about. You can find about how Joseph and Mary came down from a town called Nazareth, down to Bethlehem, to King David's city. You can find out how there wasn't any room for them in the inn. It's true. And how the baby was born probably in a stable. It was the little baby Jesus was put not in a bed or a cot or anything, not in a hospital. The Bible tells you he was put in a manger, which I think is that sort of trough, I imagine it is. I hope they put straw or swaddling clothes, it says they put it in him. I hope they made it comfortable for him. But there wasn't room for him in the inn. He was round the back. It's where the animals were. And you can find him here. I've just read to you the story of how the shepherds were out in the hills around Bethlehem. And they heard angels speaking to them, telling them that a Saviour had been born. You can find the story of how they just read it to you, rushed down to Bethlehem and found that stable, found Mary, found Joseph, and found baby Jesus. It's all there. It's all true. And you can find the story of how the wise men came from the east. It doesn't say there were three of them. We just sometimes guess that there were. How they came to see King Herod and asked where this new little baby had been born who was going to be king of the Jews. You can read the story if you want to. Of how they followed that star, and eventually they came to Bethlehem and they found where Jesus was and they found that little baby. And it's beautiful. It's the story of a little baby being born in poor circumstances. It's a story of people celebrating and great joy and messages about peace on earth. It's a lovely story, and it's true. If you keep reading, very quickly, you'll find how things went wrong. When those wise men went back to their own country, Herod went to find, he sent men to find the baby Jesus. He couldn't find him. And you can read in the Bible how he sent out an order that every child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and round about was to be killed. Because he didn't want a rival. Herod was the king. He didn't want a little baby who was going to grow up to be the king of the Jews. It's not what he wanted. And you find something horrible happens quite quickly. And life's like that, isn't it? Moments of great joy. Moments of great happiness. Moments that are spoiled by sadness and horror and unpleasantness. Life's like that. But I just wanted just you to think for a few minutes tonight. And I'll try not to be very long. I wanted you to think about this thing, this message that the shepherds heard. Because what the angel said to them was, today the Saviour has been born. The Saviour. Luke's Gospel tells you about Jesus' life from the time he was born till the time he died. It's worth reading if you haven't ever read it. Just sit and read it. There's a lot of small words, I know, in this print of the Bible that we've got here. But it's a fascinating story, and it's true. It tells you how Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. It doesn't tell you very much about what he was like as a child, or how he grew up as a child. But somewhere around about the age of 30... it starts to tell you an awful lot about Jesus from the age of when he was 30 till he was about 33. Tells you some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did, only a few of the things. And it's amazing. You know, all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, not everybody liked Jesus. And not everybody loved him. As far as I can see, there were three groups of people. There were people who were really irritated by Jesus, who didn't really want him there, and the worst of those people wanted him dead. But there was this group of people who found him irritating and just wished he wasn't there. And then there's a group of people, lots of them, who liked the things that he did and liked the benefits that he brought, but didn't really want to listen to him and didn't really want him. And then there's a third group of people who saw what he did and listened to what he said and decided that what he said was true and that he was exactly who he said he was, and they believed him. I just want to think about that. So flick through these scriptures quickly in Luke. You don't need to do it. But just think about this, right? Those angels said, a saviour has been born. What's a saviour? A saviour is somebody who rescues you. That's what a saviour is. When you're in trouble and you need help and someone comes and rescues you, that's a saviour. And Jesus did it in a way all the time. In Luke's Gospel, Luke tells us the story of a man who had a 12-year-old daughter. His name was Jairus. And his 12-year-old daughter was dying. Right, I'm a dad, and I don't like it when my children are ill. I don't know where one of my sons has gone to, but he was messing around in the playground outside, and he's cut his knee, and he's bleeding heavily. I think he's probably still in the kitchen, because I can't see him. I don't like that. When you're a dad, you don't like it when your kids are hurt. Jairus' daughter was dying. And he didn't know what to do. And the doctors couldn't help. And in his desperation, he'd heard about Jesus. And he left his daughter and he left his home. And he went to find Jesus. And when he found him, he begged Jesus to come and see his daughter before she died. And while Jesus was coming, he was delayed. He stopped to help somebody else. And the message came to Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dying. But Jesus still came. He came to Jairus' house. He told the people that were mourning to get out. And he went into the room where Jairus' little daughter was lying dead. And he went there with three of his friends, Peter and James and John, and with the little girl's mum and dad. Nobody else. And he took that little girl by the hand and he said to her, child, get up. Child, arise. And she got up. This little girl who was dead got up. Maybe you can't imagine that if you're not a mum or a dad. But what Jesus did for that dad and that mum was wonderful. And it's true. He saved them. He rescued that little girl from death. But you know, that's not why he's called the Saviour. That's not why he's the Saviour. There was another time when Jesus and his friends, his disciples, 12 of them, were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came up and the boat started to fill with water. And it filled so much with water, they thought it was going to sink. And they thought they were going to drown. But Jesus, he was asleep. Somehow, he slept through it all. And his friends woke him up. And they said, help us, save us. And Jesus did something amazing. He just spoke to the storm. And the wind died away. And the waves went calm. And the storm was gone. A man spoke to the weather. And it changed. I can't do that. And you can't do that. But something about Jesus was different. He did it. And they didn't expect it to happen. They were amazed. They were a bit afraid. They wondered who he was. But he did it. He rescued them when it looked like they was going to drown. He saved them. But that's not why they call him the Saviour. All through Jesus' life, there were people that were brought to him who were ill. There's long lists in the Gospels of the different type of illnesses that people had. But people who were blind, and people who couldn't walk, and people who were deaf, and people who were lepers. Any kind of illness that you can think of, it seems they brought people to Jesus, and he healed them. Sometimes he healed them by touching them. Sometimes he healed them by speaking to them. Sometimes he healed them by spitting and making mud and putting it on their eyes. It's not like there was some kind of formula he was following. He seems to do it differently every time. But he could heal people. Luke tells us, one time, there were 10 men, 10 of them, who were lepers, who had an illness that nobody could heal, that would eventually cause them to die. And these men had no hope. They had to live away from other people, away from their families and away from their homes. Because if they touch someone, they'll give them the disease. So they had to live apart from everyone else. And these 10 men were standing one day, Luke tells us, and Jesus was coming past and they called to him. Luke says they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And Luke says, Jesus saw them and he spoke to them and he said, just do this. Go and show yourself to a priest. Go and show yourself to a priest. I don't know what they made of that. But Luke says as they turned and as they went to find a priest, they found their leprosy was gone and they were healed. And one of those men, just one, he came back to Jesus and he gave thanks to him. And Luke describes it, you can read it in his gospel, how that man just could not believe what had happened to him. It was so much. He came and gave thanks to Jesus for doing it. Jesus had saved him from that illness. He'd saved him from death by leprosy. He'd rescued him. But it's still not why we call him the Saviour. There is a point in the Gospels where Jesus, it says he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was the capital city of the land. It was the place. It's where the temple was. It's where the Roman governor was. It's where the government was. Jesus set his face, it says, steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. And the scripture tells you why. Luke tells you time and time again. And the other gospels tell you that Jesus said that he knew why he was going. He was going to Jerusalem to be spat upon and to be scourged, whipped, and to be mocked and laughed at and to be crucified and to be killed. And when he told them that, he told them, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Rise from the dead. On his way to Jerusalem, he came down from the north part of the country, down through Jericho. As he was passing through Jericho, there was a blind man called Bartimaeus who called out to him to have mercy on him. He was blind, he couldn't see. And the crowd said, "Be quiet, he's got more important things to do. Be quiet." Bartimaeus called out the more. And Luke says, Jesus stopped. He actually says, Jesus stood still. That call from that blind man, Jesus stood still. He was going down to Jerusalem. He was going to do something which, if it was us, it would occupy every thought that we had. It would take over. And yet, on the way, at the cry of a man who had a need, the scripture says, Jesus stood still. And he healed him. He said, "What do you want me to do?" And Bartimaeus said, "I just want to see." And Jesus healed him and he could see. He made a blind man see. And it's not just the healings. Have you ever read the words that Jesus taught? Have you ever looked at them and read them and thought about them? The words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago have left a mark on us even now. He taught things that you and I find hard to live up to. He said that we should love our enemies. And I find that hard. And you must find that hard. We should do good to those that hate us. And on you can find the pages of what Jesus said and the teaching that he taught and the example that he gave. But none of that made him the Saviour. At Jerusalem, at about the age of 33, he was crucified. His people were the Jews and they didn't want him. And the Romans crucified him. There was a very simple charge against him. The Jews said he needed to die because he said he was the Son of God. So he had to die. Because he said he was the Son of God. And they crucified him. Nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and hung from a cross of wood. Hung there until he died. It's an agonizing way to die. It's a horrible way to die. You might look at it and go, why did he have to die? Why did someone as good as Jesus, as perfect as Jesus, as loving and as wonderful as Jesus, why did he have to die? In one way, there's many answers to that question. It's because people hated him. It's because people didn't want him in their lives. It's because they wanted him out of the way. All those are reasons. But there is a bigger reason. It's what made him the Saviour. It's that death at Calvary, on that little hill called Golgotha outside Jerusalem. It's that death that made him the Saviour. It's what the angels were talking about when he was born. His death wasn't an accident. It wasn't a plan gone wrong. It was what he came to do. He didn't come to be a king. He didn't come to lead a rebellion. He didn't come to make himself famous. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to die on a cross. And there's a reason for it. And the scripture makes it clear if you want to take the time to find out. And it's very simple. There is a God. Even tonight, there is a God. One God. A God who made us. A God who loves us. But a God who is
holy. In a way you and I struggle to understand. A God who cannot have sin in his presence. And what you and I and every other living person apart from Jesus has done is we've taken our lives and we've spoilt them bit by bit, bit by bit, with sins that we've done. It's not so much that we've lied. It's not so much that we've got pride in us. It's not so much that we've all been selfish. We've all done all those things. And some of us have done a lot worse. It's not so much that. It's that each one of us, whether we've thought about it or not, have not wanted God in our lives. We've tried to turn away and not think about the God that made us. The one God. We've tried to shut him out of our mind and lead our lives our way. There's something inside me that says, I want to choose the way I lead my life. I want to do the things that I think will make me happy. There's something of that inside me. And God says, actually, that's a rebellion against me. You're choosing yourself rather than your God. And you're shutting your God out. And it's called sin. And what Jesus did was he offered himself as a sacrifice on that cross to suffer the penalty for our sins. You might not like it and you might think it's a waste of time, but Jesus is the person more than anybody else in the Bible who talks about judgment and hell. And he's very, very clear that it's after death there is some kind of judgment. You don't just die and that's the end of your life. But after death there is some kind of judgment. And God holds you accountable for what you've done in your life. And he's told you beforehand that you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner, and we're all sinners. But he is a God who loves you, and he's done the most amazing thing to set you free and to let you go. He sent his own son into this world at Bethlehem to live for a while amongst us and to die on a cross at Jerusalem, so that by his sacrifice he's taken our place. And God looks at what Jesus has done and he says, that's enough. He suffered instead of you. He's borne your sins. As the scripture says, he bore your sins in his body on that tree. So that now, everyone who comes to Jesus, everyone who's got an emptiness in their life without God, everyone who's got no peace without God, can come to Jesus. He is the only way to God. And the scripture says, if you come to him and you tell him you're a sinner, use any words you like, nobody else needs to hear. But if you come to Jesus and tell him you are a sinner and ask him to forgive you, then the scripture says that what he did on that cross is enough in the eyes of God to wash away your sins forever. God can't forgive sins by just speaking a word. I can't explain to you why that is, but that's what the scripture says. It says the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, needs the shedding of blood. And your blood, or my blood, or the blood of an animal, is not enough. What it needed was the blood of God's own Son. Pure, sinless, perfect, lovely, delightful to God. That man was a sacrifice for you and for me. They buried him in a tomb. And on the third day, on that Sunday morning, what happened? Exactly what he said was going to happen. And it's something that people have struggled with ever since. Even in this scripture. If you read on into the book of the Acts, you'll find people preaching the first preachings just like we are tonight. When they got, it says, to the point where they said that Jesus was raised from the dead and was alive again, it says that people mocked and people laughed and people turned off. And that was the point at which people said, I don't want to hear. But nevertheless, it is still true that Christ died and was raised on that third day. He's God's Son and he lives. Which means when you pray and when you speak to him and when you ask him to forgive your sins, if you want peace with God, it's the only way. If you want to take away your fear of death, it's the only way. But when you do it, it means that Jesus hears you and lives.
Someone had a moment in there.
I finished. Is good news for you?
That's my message.
Yep. But that is the message of the Bible. Bethlehem, a beautiful message, a little baby. A Saviour has been born. And at Calvary, a Saviour saving you from your sins if you will have him.